हरिः ॐ सहनावावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
कीर्तनचरमिता Chapter 13, The Advent of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Verse 113, 115, page 23. When Sita Thakurani came to the house of Sachidevi, bringing with her many kinds of eatables, dresses, and other gifts, she was astonished to see the newborn child, for she appreciated that except for a difference in color, the child was directly Krishna of Gokula himself. Srila Prabhupada. A petari is a kind of big basket that is carried in pairs on the ends of a rod balanced over the shoulders. The man who carries such a load is called a badari. Bhari. This system of carrying the luggage and packages is still current in India and other oriental countries. And we have seen that the same system is still current even in Jakarta, Indonesia. Yeah, so when they come, that means that they can bring the maximum amount of things that way, like that. I'm not sure if it would be bigger, but they're quite big, whether it would be a slight bit bigger than those big baskets that carry a single one on the head than that. You know the guys that carry it on the bamboo, and there's two baskets?
Yes.
So the volume of that, will that be the same or more than when they have the one big basket that they carry on their head? Like, whatever it is, it's one of the ways to carry a lot of stuff. So it's a maximum that someone could carry. So that's how much stuff she brought. Right? 113, 116 through 117. Seeing the transcendental bodily effulgence of the child, each of his nicely constructed limbs full of auspicious signs and resembling a form of gold, Sita Thakurani was very pleased, and because of her maternal affection, she felt as if her heart were melting. She blessed the newborn child by placing fresh grass and paddy on his head and saying, "May you be blessed with a long duration of life." But being afraid of ghosts and witches, she gave the child the name Nimai. Srila Prabhupada. Dakini and Shakini are two companions of Lord Shiva and his wife, were supposed to be extremely inauspicious. Having been born of ghostly life, it is believed that such inauspicious living creatures cannot go near a neem tree. At least medicinally, it is accepted that neem wood is extremely antiseptic, and formerly it was customary to have a neem tree in front of one's house. On very large roads in India, especially in Uttar Pradesh, there are hundreds and thousands of neem trees. Neem wood is so antiseptic that the Ayurvedic science uses it to cure leprosy. Medical science have extracted the active principle of the neem tree, which is called margosic acid. Neem is used for many purposes, especially brush the teeth. In Indian villages, 90% of the people use neem twigs for this purpose. Because of all the antiseptic effects of the neem tree, because Lord Chaitanya was born beneath the neem tree, Sita Thakurani gave Lord the name Nimai. Later in his youth, he was celebrated as Nimai Pandit, and in neighboring villages, he was called by that name, although his real name was Vishwambara. Right, so that means, you know, it becomes one of these nice names everyone calls and all that. On the day the mother and son bathed and left the maternity home, Sita Thakurani gave them all kinds of ornaments and garments, and then also honored Jagannath Mishra. Then Sita Thakurani, Being honored by Mother Satyadevi and Jagannath Mishra, was greatly happy within her mind, and thus she returned home. Srila Prabhupada. On the fifth day from the birth of a child, as also on the ninth day, the mother bathes either in the Ganges or in another sacred place. This is called Nishkramana, or the ceremony of coming out of the maternity home. Nowadays, the maternity home is a hospital. But formerly, in every respectable house, one room was set aside as a maternity home, where children would take birth. And on the ninth day after the birth of a child, the mother would come into the regular rooms and the ceremony called Nishkramana. Of the 10 purificatory processes, Nishkramana is one. Formerly, especially in Bengal, the higher caste observed 4 months after the birth of a child as a quarantine. At the end of the fourth month, the mother could see the sun rise. Later, the higher caste, namely the Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, observed only 21 days as a quarantine, whereas the Shudras had to observe 30 days. For the sections of society known as Kartabhaja and Sati Ma, the mother of the child is immediately purified after the quarantine by the throwing of Harimuta, small pieces of sweetmeats, in Sankirtana. Satyadeva and Jagannath Mishra, with the newborn child, were honored by Sita Thakurani. Similarly, while Sita Thakurani was returning home, she was also honored by Satyadevi and Jagannath Mishra. That was the system in respectable families of Bengal. Because there needs to be this time when they're staying together in the home. They don't go out. One is that you have the aspect of just the health and all that, because everything's really delicate and all that, so then the less you go out, the better it is. You have also the aspect of that is there, everyone comes, takes care in that, they'll all come and visit. And so all the relationship aspects are there. And so, yes. And there's also the aspect of stability. One stays like this during the time of Nishkramana. Then the child becomes more fixed in nature, that they can stay in one place. So many aspects were there. And so then, as Prabhupada is saying, this would be a standard to be followed in all the different families like that. So originally then, like you said, it's 4 months like that, because you take the third full moon after the birth, and so then when the next full moon, then you count three. Like that. Does that make sense? Or you count from there, and then whenever that comes again after the third. So it ends up, you know, somewhere between 3 and 4 months. But that means lunar. And then the time they take it down, you know. So, like as Prabhupada mentioned, now it's just you're in the hospital, and then they wash the baby with some antiseptic and Haribol, you know, taking care of two samskars at once.
Express method.
Huh?
Express, yes.
Yeah, because so Prabhupada's pointing out the higher caste, because these are important because of the purification, and there's so many benefits that are there, like that. We're not doing them because of those specific benefits, we're doing because that's what the standard is, that's what the culture, and then those benefits are automatically there. Right?
Now it is 30 days. Now it is 30 days.
Now 30 days, okay. 30 days, half September. Yes. No? You know that one?
Yeah.
Okay. 119 through 123. In this way, Mother Satyadevi and Jagannath Mishra, having attained a son who was the husband of the goddess of fortune, had all their desires fulfilled. This house was always filled with riches and grains. As they saw the beloved body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, day after day their pleasure increased. Right? So the being that Lord Chaitanya is there, that the Lord came as their son, that's what's pleasing to them. And so as a side thing, is this the situational, then you see the house always has opulence and grains and everything, because he being the husband of the goddess of fortune, naturally wherever he is, she'll be. Like that. But that's not why they're happy. Like that. Jagannath Mishra was an ideal Vaishnava. He was peaceful, restrained in sense gratification, pure and controlled. Therefore, he had no desire to enjoy material opulence. Whatever money came because of the influence of his transcendental son, he gave it in charity to the Brahmanas for the satisfaction of Vishnu. Right, so it means whatever he'll live a simple lifestyle, whatever comes, you know, about that, he'll give it away in charity. Because, you know, when the Lord's there, so then so much facility would come, so that he'd be able to give so much in charity. And then the idea is that will satisfy the Lord. And so then the Lord will be very pleased with that. So you can say, well, why doesn't Krishna just send less money, less trouble? But the point is there's the service, there's the charity, there's all these different things. Serving the Vaishnavas, the relationships, the interactions. These are them. After calculating the birth moment of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nilambar Chakrabarty privately said to Jagannath Mishra that he saw all the different symptoms of a great personality in both the body and birth moment of the child. Thus he understood that in the future the child would deliver all the three worlds. In this way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of his causeless mercy, made his advent in the house of Sachi Devi. Lord Chaitanya is very merciful to anyone who hears this narration of his birth, and thus such a person attains the lotus feet of the Lord. Anyone who attains a human body but does not take to the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is baffled in his opportunity. So the cult means like the cultivation. That's why it's called a cult, because you're developing something. You know, nowadays they like to give it a bad name. But then, you know, so many things have a bad name these days. So, you know, like authority or government or, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. Anyone who... Okay. Amrita Dhuni is a river... river is a flowing river of the nectar of devotional service. If after getting a human body, one does not drink the water... If after getting a human body, one drinks the water in a poison pit of material happiness, instead of the water of such a river, it would be better for him not to have lived, but to have died long ago. Srila Prabhupada. In this connection, Srimad Bodhananda Saraswati has composed the following verses in his Chaitanya Chandamrita, 37, 36, and 34. This material world is without Krishna consciousness. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna consciousness personified. Therefore, if a very learned scholar or scientist does not understand Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, certainly he is wandering uselessly in this world. Right? It means usually so much intelligence, but he's not using that to understand Lord Chaitanya. So that's a waste. I mean, for anyone who's not, it's a waste. But then especially for that intelligent person who should be able to appreciate. A person who does not take advantage of the nectar of devotional service, overflowing during the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's cult, is certainly the poorest of the poor. Because here's the opportunity to perfect human life. They don't take it because other things are just so important. Right? The advent of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is just like an expanding ocean of nectar. One who does not collect the valuable jewels within this ocean is certainly the poorest of the poor. Right. So if you make no endeavor, you don't try to appreciate devotional service in Lord Chaitanya, then one is unfortunate.
No. Chaitanya means consciousness.
Chaitanya means consciousness, yes. And so that, because that's from so if you say Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so then he is consciousness. So he's the, but at the same time, as it's also from the pastime of just being the brahmachari in that particular line, then their name, the brahmachari name is Chaitanya. Just like with Sarup Damodar, then Sarup is their brahmachari name. Like that. So, all these things. His name is Vishrambar because he maintains the universe. Chaitanya, it also means life, consciousness, all these different things like that. So he's also the life of the Sankirtan movement and everything like that. Mm. He's Gaura because he's Krishna in the mood of Radharani. Mm. Right? Yeah. Mm. Yeah. He's Nimai because he purifies. Yes.
I think I realize why Srila Prabhupada put them in this order.
Ah.
He's talking about how the first one he quotes is how the learned scholars don't have the sambandha, and then they're not taking advantage of the abhideya,
okay.
And then they're not collecting the prayojana.
Okay, nice, okay. Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of times you see that the acharyas will reverse the orders. Mm-hmm. Because depending on what they're bringing out, so maybe in the story it'll come out that the goal, and then we'll go back to that.
Right.
One.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then for a lot of times for establishing the point when they're just pulling, then they change the orders most of the time. That's nice. Sambandh Navi Day version. Yeah. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.19.20.23 states, a person who has no connection with Krishna consciousness may be a very great personality in so-called human society, but actually is no better than a great animal. Such big animals are generally praised by other animals like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. A person does not lend his aural reception to hearing about the Supreme Personality of Godhead must be considered to have ear holes like holes in a field. Although that person has a tongue, is like the tongue of a frog, which unnecessarily creates a disturbance by croaking, inviting the snake of death. Similarly, a person who neither takes advantage of the dust of the lotus feet of great devotees, nor smells the tulsi leaf offered to the lotus feet of the Lord, must be considered dead, even though he is supposedly working.
We talked about that this morning.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, see? He has those themes that I was going to. Yeah, supposedly working. So then they're doing something useless. One 13, 124. Taking on my head as my own property. Okay. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.1.4.4 states, who but the animal killer or the killer of the soul will not care to hear glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Such glorification is enjoyed by persons liberated from the contamination of this material world. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam 3.23.56 says, Na tirta pada sevayai jivan napi mrito hi saha. Although a person is apparently living, if he does not serve the lotus feet of great devotees, he is to be considered a dead body. Because right? The point is that the body is dead. It's because the soul is there, the super soul is there. Then the life airs are moving in the body, so then, you know, technically we'll call it, you know, how you say, clinically alive. You know? But the point is the soul, if they're not serving the devotees, if they're not serving the Lord, then the soul is not acting in its natural position, so the soul is not actually acting a life of value for itself. So then they're as good as dead, you know. So the only reason you call it alive because of the soul, the soul's there. And if the soul is technically dead, then why wouldn't the body be dead? Right? One 13, 124. Taking on my head as my own property, the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Acharya Advaita Chandra, Sarup Damodar, Rupa Goswami, and Raghunath Das, I, Krishna's Kaviraj, have thus described the advent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda, Advaita Prabhu, Sarup Damodar, Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das, and their followers are all accepted by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Anyone who follows in the footsteps of Kaviraj Goswami also accepts the lotus feet of the above-mentioned lords as his personal property. For a materialistic person, material wealth and opulence are only illusory. Actually, they are not possessions, but entanglements, because by enjoying the material world, the conditioned soul becomes more and more entangled by incurring debts for his present enjoyment. Right, so we say, I have this and I can enjoy this, but it means that these attachments are actually entanglements. Because as you interact, then you get the reactions to that. There's always a cause and effect. There's always an effect. Right? And so in that area of where you're applying yourself, that's the area that the karma will be there. So he's just getting entangled in those areas. You know, so the more facility he has, The more he says he's enjoying, the more he's being entangled. But that's why the idea of the mode of goodness, you keep it simple, then less entanglement. Unfortunately, a conditioned soul considers property for which he is in debt to be his own, and he is very busy acquiring such property. But a devotee considers such property not real property, but simply an entanglement in the material world. If Lord Krishna is very pleased with a devotee, he takes away his material property. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.88.8, Yasyaham anu gri nami harishye tad dhanam shanaihi. To show special favor to a devotee will take away all his material property. Srila Narottam Das Thakur says, my real riches are Nityananda Prabhu and the lotus feet of Sri Radha and Krishna. He further prays, O Lord, kindly give me this opulence. I do not want anything but your lotus feet as my property. Srila Narottam Das Thakur has sung in many places that his real property is the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. Unfortunately, we are interested in unreal property and are neglecting our real property. Andhane yatana kadi dhana te ya no, I'm just wondering if this is in Bengali. It's in Bengali, it comes out, I think. Gayinu.
Yeah.
Some English accent. Sometimes smartas consider Raghunath Das Goswami a Shudra. The Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami here especially mentions Srup Rupa Raghunath Das. Therefore, one who considers the lotus feet of Raghunath Das to be transcendental to all divisions of the caste system enjoys the riches of actual spiritual bliss. His devotees are on the transcendental platform, so that's the position that we're seeing. So then the duties that are performed, that may be according to the varnashram position, but that doesn't mean they are that. Just like no one else is the position that they're in. But because they're not identifying as the soul, but as the body, therefore then there'd be more of a fixed position. But for the devotees, then they're transcendental to this. Especially someone like Raghunath Das. They're acting outside, you know, above the system. Conclusion. One should not try to elevate himself artificially to the stage of prema bhakti without seriously following the regulative principles of sadhana bhakti. Prema bhakti is the stage of relishing, whereas sadhana bhakti is the stage of improving in devotional service. Persons who are after sense gratification should not try to imitate raganuga devotional service. Mundane reviewers of devotional literature help people in general become debauchees, and this leads only to social scandals and atheism in the world. Right? Because if by following the devotional things, but they're doing it in an improper way, then there's going to be a scandal. And when there's scandals, then people lose their faith, and they become atheists. Like that. So these mundane reviewers aren't actually doing any benefit for anyone. One should not misunderstand the pastimes of Radha and Krishna to be activities of a mundane young boy and girl. The mundane sexual activities of young boys and girls are most abominable. Therefore, those who are in the bodily consciousness and who desire sense gratification are forbidden to indulge in discussions of the transcendental pastimes of Sri Radha and Krishna. The purport of all revealed scriptures is understanding of Krishna. Therefore, if a person explains anything that is not Krishna, he simply wastes his time, laboring hard, without fulfilling the aim of his life. One simply becomes a teacher or professor of education, but does not understand Krishna. It is to be understood that he is among the lowest of mankind, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 7.15. Naradhama mayaya pratigyana. Right? So, the difficulty comes, is like you said here, mundane reviewers, then they're going to give a mundane perspective. And because of that, so that mundane perspective is mayaya pratigyana, is stolen their illusion, their intelligence, so they can't properly appreciate then by them training others in that, then that brings them to the point of, how do you say, they get further. You know, it's like as you develop in the academy, then you get more and more letters and, you know, more and more titles and that. So they started off just as a regular academic. They were Mayaya Pratigyana. But as they become and they profess all these things and therefore bewilder others, then they get the Naradhama added on to, you know, as a further title.
Yeah? They end up as Mudas?
Well, the Mudas are the ones that are going and following them. That's the, yeah. Yeah. One does not know the essence of all the revealed scriptures, but still becomes a teacher. His teaching is like the disturbing braying of an ass. Right? Because the donkeys think that they're saying poetry. Literally. I mean, Shastra mentions that. Like that. So, that's the problem. They think what they're saying is so sweet, and everybody else just is looking for a stick. Chapter 14. Lord Chaitanya's childhood pastimes, Pratigya. Things that are very difficult to do become easy to execute if one somehow or another simply remembers Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Adhyaya Prakashika. The 14th chapter gives some descriptions of the Lord's childhood pastimes. C.C. Adi 17:3-26. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given a summary of this chapter in his Amrita Pravaha Bhashya. In the 14th chapter, there is a description of how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enjoyed his childhood pastimes. Crawling, crying, eating dirt, and giving intelligence to his mother. Favoring a Brahmin guest, riding on the shoulders of two thieves and misleading them to his own house. And on the plea of being diseased, taking prasadam in the house of Hiranya and Jagadish on the Ekadasi day. The chapter further describes how he displayed himself as a naughty boy, how when his mother fainted, he brought a coconut to her on his head, how he joked with girls of the same age on the banks of the Ganges, how he accepted worshipable paraphernalia from Srimati Lakshmi Devi, how he sat down in a garbage pit and instructed his mother in transcendental knowledge, how he left the pit on the order of his mother, and how he dealt with his father with full affection. Shloka Anusharanam, verses 1 to 97. Lord Chaitanya's Balya Lila, up to age 5. Right, so we had his appearance, and now we have the Balya Lila. 1:14:1. Things that are very difficult to do become very easy to execute if one somehow or another simply remembers Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But if one does not remember him, even easy things become very difficult. To this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I offer my respectful obeisances. Srila Prabhupada. The Hari Bhakti Vilas confirms that difficult things become easy to understand if one remembers Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and easy things become very difficult to understand if one forgets him. We actually see that even those who are very great scientists in the eyes of the general public cannot understand the very simple idea that life comes from life, because they do not have the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They defend the false understanding that life comes from matter, although they cannot prove this is a fact. Modern civilization, therefore, progressing on the plea on the basis of this false scientific theory, is simply creating problems to be solved by the so-called scientists. Right, so their theory being followed then creates so many problems that then they have to come up with new things to try to solve the problems that they themselves have created. So that's the meaning of the previous one, the Naradhama Mayaya Pratigyana. 1:14:2-5. All glories to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Prabhu, and all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. I have thus described in brief the advent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appeared as the son of Mother Sachi, exactly as Krishna appeared as the son of Mother Jashoda. I have already briefly spoken about the pastimes of his birth in chronological order. Now I shall give a synopsis of his childhood pastimes. Let me offer my respectful obeisances under the childhood pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Lord Krishna himself. Although such pastimes appear exactly like those of an ordinary child, they should be understood as various pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada. In the Bhagavad Gita 9.11, this statement is confirmed as follows. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature and my supreme dominion over all that be. End quote. To execute his pastimes, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears on this planet or within this universe like an ordinary human being or human child. Yet he maintains his superiority as the Supreme Lord. Lord Krishna appeared as a human child. But his uncommon activities, even in his childhood, like the killing of the demon Putana, or the lifting of Govardhan Hill, were not the engagements of an ordinary child. Similarly, although the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, as they will be described in this chapter, appear like the activities of a small boy, they are uncommon pastimes impossible for an ordinary human child to execute. But so, if someone wants to take it that, oh, these are just ordinary, but the point is ordinary kids can't do this anyway. But, you know, because there's this concept of the greatness comes in just being able to control like that, rather than, you know, knowledge, control, these kind of aspects, rather than it's the affection exchange between the devotees. So they can't understand what's the topmost principle. You know, it'd be just like, let's say, you have somebody, you know, a very big personality, you know, powerful personality, and they have some friends or stuff like come over, then they can sit with them, and others can take care of the other work, right? Because it's a lower position. Otherwise, how could they do it? What's the concept? What has to be done? That they have to give, but they actually do the mechanical work others who have training can do. So even here we see it's the other way around. The guy on the top is the one who doesn't have anything to do. So that's the principle. It's Krishna, all his energies can take care of everything, so he can just enjoy his pastimes with the devotees. That's the whole point. That's what's going on. That's why all the other things are happening, is for that purpose. In his first childhood pastimes, the Lord turned upside down while lying on his bed, and thus he showed his parents the mark of his lotus feet. When the Lord tried to walk in his small footprints, the specific marks of Lord Vishnu were visible, namely the flag, thunderbolt, conch shell, disc, and fish. Seeing all these marks, neither his father nor his mother could understand whose footprints they were. They were struck with wonder. They could not understand how those marks would be possible in their home. Jagannath Mishra said, "Certainly, child Krishna is with the Shaligram Srila. Taking his childhood form, he is playing within the room." Okay. Srila Prabhupada. The benefit of, how you say, headphones? You can't tell, so you just are going along and everyone else is. Okay. Srila Prabhupada. When the form of the Lord is carved from wood, stone, or any other element, it is to be understood that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is there. Even logically, we can understand that all material elements are expansions of the energy of the Lord. Since the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is non-different from his personal body, the Lord is always present in his energy, and he manifests himself on account of the ardent desire of the devotee. Since the Lord is supremely powerful, it's logical that he can manifest himself as is in his energy. Deity worship or worship of the Shaligram Srila is not idol worship. The deity of the house, the deity of the Lord in the house of a pure devotee, can act exactly as he can in his own original transcendental personality. So Because the Lord and His energy are non-different. So even just from the other point, you're making out of the material elements, but all the elements are Him. So if He wants to personally manifest in a particular place, He can do that. So why does He manifest? Because of the devotion of the devotees. And then for the pure devotees, then He can act in, you know, whatever way is there in His original person. 1:14, 10-15. While Mother Sachi and Jagannath Mishra were talking, child Nimai woke up and began to cry. And Mother Sachi took him on her lap and allowed him to suck her breast. While Mother Sachi was feeding the child from her breast, she saw all the lotus. She saw on his lotus feet all the marks that were visible on the floor of the room. And she called for Jagannath Mishra. When Jagannath Mishra saw the wonderful marks on the sole of his son, he became very joyful and privately called for Nilambar Chakravarti. When Nilambar Chakravarti saw those marks, he smilingly said, "Formerly I ascertained all this by astrological calculation and noted it in writing. Quote, there are 32 bodily marks that symptomize a great personality. And I see all those marks on the body of this child. There are 32 bodily symptoms of a great personality. 5 of his bodily parts are large, 5 fine, 7 reddish, 6 raised, 3 small, 3 broad, and 3 grave." Okay, so he said that he had noted in writing that then in writing is there. So then at the end we get that's far out. How many? Quotation, because he himself is speaking about how he wrote and then the writing itself.
Yes.
There you go again. Srila Prabhupada, the 5 large parts are the nose, arms, chin, eyes, and knees. The 5 fine parts are the skin, fingertips, teeth, hair on the body, and hair on the head. The 7 reddish parts are the eyes, soles, palms, palate, nail, upper and lower lips. The 6 raised parts are the chest, shoulders, nails, nose, waist, and mouth. The 3 small parts are the neck, thighs, and male organ. The 3 broad parts are the waist, forehead, and chest. The 3 grave parts are the navel, voice, and existence. Altogether, these are the 32 symptoms of a great personality. This is a quotation from the Samudrika. 1:14, 16-18. Right, so these are all the ones that are all the 32 symptoms. And so then Krishna has all of them. Because even others may have only certain ones or things like that. But he'll have all of them. Just like all the marks that are there, then he has all those marks. Other deities might have a certain number of marks and things like that.
And those who worship Vishnu, they put those marks or they put specific marks in the detail?
That I know of, that there'll be some specific ones. Because generally all these ones, how much is there? Because they'll just go by Silpa Shastra, and whatever the Silpa Shastra says, that's how they'll make it. But as Rupa Goswami was describing before, you don't see the same volume and the same qualities and the same, fullness of the qualities as you do in Krishna, even in the Vishnu Murti. So, I mean, the Vishnu is perfect. But then when he's in Dwarka, it'll be more, you know, more perfect. And then Braja will be most perfect. Nilambar Chakravarti continued. This baby has all the symptoms of Lord Narayana on his palms and soles. He will be able to deliver all the 3 worlds. This child will preach the Vaishnava cult and deliver both his maternal and paternal families. I propose to perform a name-giving ceremony. We should observe a festival and call for the Brahmanas because today is very auspicious. Srila Prabhupada. It is a Vedic principle to observe a festival in connection with Narayan and Brahmanas. Giving a child a particular name is among the purificatory processes known as Dasavidha Samskara. Right, because Prabhupada has now we've done the birth ceremony and the Nishkramana, and now is the name giving. Right, so these are all from the 10. And on the day of such a ceremony, one should observe a festival by worshipping Narayana and distributing prasad, chiefly among the Brahmanas. Because someone may say, oh, it's mundane. You're worshipping the Lord and distributing prasad and things to the Brahmanas, you know, and glorifying the Lord. So how can it be mundane? That's the whole thought. So yes, you can do these things in a more mundane way. But even the smartest still have to worship Narayana and give charity to the Brahmins. You know, so even for them it becomes hard to make it mundane. But don't worry, they can. But so we should always be very, very careful about this, since this is the third time Prabhupada's mentioning this. Yeah, and we see Lord Chaitanya is going through it, you know, all the great personalities are going through these things. And so they just are opportunities for Vaishnavas to get together, remember the Lord, and render service. When Nilambar, so chiefly, distributing prasad chiefly among the Brahmins. So that means you're feeding everybody, but you're especially giving attention to feeding the Brahmins. When Nilambar Chakrabarti, Sachimata, and Jagannath Mishra understood from the marks on the Lord's lotus feet that child Nimai was not an ordinary child, but an incarnation of Narayana, they decided on that very same day, which was very auspicious, they should observe a festival for his name-giving ceremony. In this connection, we can partially see how an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is ascertained by his bodily symptoms, his activities, and the prediction of the Shastras. By factual evidence, a person can be accepted as an incarnation of God, not whimsically or by the votes of rascals and fools. Right? So it's not whimsical because you feel like it, because like that, or rascals and fools, because there's that pastime where somebody thought somebody was an incarnation, so they asked what the villagers thought, and then they all voted that they were. So that's the one, yeah. And whimsical, that's going on all the time. There have been many imitation incarnations in Bengal since the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. But any impartial devotee, a learned man, can understand that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was accepted as an incarnation of Krishna, not on the basis of popular votes, but by the evidence of the Shastras and bona fide scholars. It was not ordinary men who accepted Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the beginning, his identity was ascertained by learned scholars like Nilambar Chakrabarti, and later, all his activities were confirmed by the six Goswamis, especially Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Rupa Goswami, and many other learned scholars, with evidence from the Shastra. An incarnation of God is such from the very beginning of his life. It's not that by performing meditation one can become an incarnation of God all of a sudden. Such false incarnations are meant for fools and rascals, not sane men. You know, so if you as a fool and rascal want to have another fool and rascal as God for you, then, you know, hey, you can do that. But for sane people, they won't do that. 1.14.19 Nilambar Chakrabarti continued, in the future, this child will protect and maintain all the world. For this reason, he will be called Vishwambara. Right? So that's that aspect of it. So he sees that that's also that aspect within Lord Chaitanya. Is that, you know, he's going to deliver the whole world like that. Then you see here that he'll maintain, he'll cultivate. Srila Prabhupada. The Chaitanya Bhagavat confirms that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his birth, has made the whole world peaceful. And in the past, Narayana protected the earth in his incarnation as Varaha. Because of his protecting and maintaining this world in the present Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is known as Vishwambara, which refers to one who feeds the entire world. 1.14.20 After hearing Nilambar Chakrabarti's prediction, Sachimata and Jagannath Mishra observed the name-giving festival in great joy, inviting all the Brahmins and their wives. Srila Prabhupada. It is the Vedic system to observe all kinds of festivals, including birthday festivals, marriage festivals, name-giving festivals, and festivals marking the beginning of education, by especially inviting brahmanas. In every festival, the brahmanas to be fed first, and when the brahmanas are pleased, they bless the festival by chanting Vedic mantras or the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Right, so, yeah. So another is just pointing it out. So here we're Chaitanya Charitamrita. So they're dealing with the, you know, this Prayojana aspect. and how to apply it in our lives. And so he sees this, it just keeps coming up again and again. 1:14:21. After some days, the Lord began to crawl on his knees. He caused various wonderful things to be seen. Srila Prabhupada. The Chaitanya Bhagavat describes that one day while the Lord was crawling upon his knees, the bells on his waist ringing very sweetly. The bells on his waist ringing very sweetly. A snake came out to crawl in the yard of the Lord, who captured the snake like a curious child. Immediately the snake coiled over him. The Lord as a child then rested on the snake, and after some time the snake went away, leaving the Lord aside. 1:14:22. The Lord caused all the ladies to chant the holy names of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra on the plea of his crying, and while they chanted, the Lord would smile. Srila Prabhupada. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, this pastime is described as follows. Quote, the Lord with his beautiful eyes would cry, but he would stop immediately upon hearing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. When the ladies, understanding the fun of the Lord, discovered that he would cry and then stop upon hearing the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mantra, they all took it as a clue to chant Hare Krishna as soon as the Lord cried. Thus it became a regular function. The Lord would cry, and the ladies would begin chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, clapping their hands. In this way, all the ladies of the neighboring houses would assemble in the home of Satyamata to join in the Sankirtan movement 24 hours a day. As long as the ladies continued to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the Lord would not cry, but would very pleasingly smile upon them. Right? So then he would smile, so that would be nice, right? You know? And then when they say stop, then he'd start crying again, so immediately then they would. 1:14:23-29. After some days, the Lord began to move his legs and walk. He mixed with other children and exhibited various sports. One day, while the Lord was enjoying his playful sports with the other little children, Mother Sachi brought a dish filled with fused rice and sweetmeats and asked the child to sit down and eat them. But when she turned to her household duties, the child hid from his mother and began to eat dirt. Seeing this, Mother Sachi hastily returned and exclaimed, "What is this? What is this?" She snatched the dirt from the hands of the Lord and inquired why he was eating it. Crying, the child inquired from his mother, "Why are you angry? You've already given me dirt to eat. What is my fault? Fused rice, sweetmeats, and all of the edibles are but transformations of dirt. This is dirt. That is dirt. Please consider. What is the difference between them? This body is a transformation of dirt, and the edibles are also a transformation of dirt. Please reflect upon this. You are blaming me without consideration. What can I say?" Srila Prabhupada. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as the supreme spiritual master, instructed his mother about the Mayavad philosophy. By saying that the body is dirt and eatables are also dirt, he implied that everything is Maya. This is Mayavad philosophy. The philosophy of the Mayavad is defective because it maintains that everything is Maya, but the nonsense they speak. Yes, but the nonsense they speak, right? Everything else is Maya. While saying that everything is Maya, the Mayavadi philosopher loses the opportunity of devotional service, and therefore his life is doomed. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore advised, Mayavadi bhashya shunile hai sarvanash. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 6:169. If he accepts the Mayavad philosophy, his advancement is doomed forever. 1:14:30. Astonished that the child was speaking Mayavad philosophy, Mother Sachi replied, "Who has taught you this philosophical speculation that justifies eating dirt?" Srila Prabhupada. In the philosophical discourse between the mother and the son, when the son said that everything is one, as impersonalists say, the mother replied, "If everything is one, why do people in general not eat dirt, but eat the food grains produced from the dirt?" 1:14:31-32. Replying to the Mayavad idea of the child philosopher, Mother Sachi said, "My dear boy, if we eat earth transformed into grain, our body is nourished, and it becomes strong. But if we eat dirt in its crude state, the body becomes diseased instead of nourished, and thus it is destroyed. In a water pot, which is a transformation of dirt, I can bring water very easily. But if I poured water on a lump of dirt, the lump would soak up the water and my labor would be useless. Srila Prabhupada. This simple philosophy propounded by Sachimata, even though she is a woman, can defeat the Mayavadi philosophers who speculate on oneness. The defect of Mayavadi philosophy is that it does not accept the variety that is useful for practical purposes. Right? So you're going to have the earth, and it's going to have its transformations. So if you use the transformations in the way that they are able to do, you will get the effect. But if you use it in its original state, you won't get that. So to say it's just all one and you don't make a distinction between the uniqueness of these different states, then there's a problem. Sometimes scientists argue that matter and spirit are one, with no difference between them. Factually, in a higher sense, there's no difference between matter and spirit. But one should have the practical knowledge that matter, being an inferior state of existence, is useless for our spiritual blissful life, whereas spirit, being a finer state, is full of bliss. And so in the higher state, you can say, yes, it is also has that transcendental aspect, but it still can't give you transcendental bliss. Because of being inferior Brahman, it can't give that effect of what the superior Brahman can give. In this connection, the Bhagavatam gives the example that dirt and fire are practically one and the same. From the earth grow trees, and from their wood come fire and smoke. Nonetheless, for heat, we can utilize fire, but not the earth, smoke, or wood. Therefore, for the ultimate realization of the goal of life, we are concerned with the fire of the spirit, not the dull wood or earth of matter. 1.14.33. The Lord replied to his mother, "Why do you conceal self-realization by not teaching me this practical philosophy in the beginning?" Right, because you know, there's always the thing. Oh, when they get bigger, they'll understand. No, you start teaching all these things from when they're small, because then it's very simple. It's very straightforward. Srila Prabhupada. If from the beginning of life one is taught the Vaishnava philosophy of duality or variety, the monistic philosophy will not bother him very much. In reality, everything is an emanation from the Supreme Source, Janmadyasya Yataha. The original energy is exhibited in varieties, exactly as the sunshine. The original energy emanating from the sun exhibits itself in variety as light and heat. One cannot say that light is heat or that heat is light, yet one cannot separate one from the other. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy is the Chintaveda Veda, inconceivable non-separation and distinction. Although there is an affinity between the two physical manifestations, light and heat, there is also a difference between them. Similarly, although the whole cosmic manifestation is the Lord's energy, the energy is nevertheless exhibited in varieties of manifestations. So these things you can explain. They can be explained. Because the principle can be explained. So many technical details may not be. But the point is these things can be explained. So when we mean technical, we mean like Jiva Goswami is giving the grammatical rule on why that particular word is used in that particular way. That's what we mean by technical. So that will come later. But what's being explained here by Srila Prabhupada and Sachimata, that can be explained in the beginning.
To everyone.
Yes, to everyone. Even though, of course, it took us 10 years to be able to appreciate and understand it, but yes, you can explain it to the kid. That's the fun part. It takes us so long to notice it because of so much conditioning.
Yes.
But having understood it, explaining that to the child, they'll catch it immediately.
Yes.
That's the advantage. to 37. Lord Chaitanya continued, "Now that I can understand this philosophy, no more shall I eat dirt. Whenever I am hungry, I shall suck your breast and drink your breast milk." After saying this, the Lord, smiling slightly, climbed on the lap of his mother and sucked her breast. Thus, under various excuses, the Lord exhibited his opulence as much as possible in his childhood. And later, after exhibiting such opulences, he hid himself. On one occasion, the Lord ate the food of a Brahmana guest three times, and later on, in confidence, the Lord delivered that Brahmana from material engagement. In his chapter summary of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adi Khanda, chapter 5, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura writes, "One day, a mendicant Brahmana who worshipped Bala Gopal became a guest at the house of Jagannath Mishra. After completing his cooking, the Brahmana offered Lord Krishna the foodstuffs and meditation. In order to bestow mercy on the devoted Brahmana, Gaura Gopala came there and ate a handful of the rice offering. Seeing the boy eat the food that he had offered to Krishna, the mendicant Brahmana shouted, 'This naughty boy has spoiled the offering.' When Jagannath Mishra heard this, he prepared to beat the boy in anger, but he was stopped by the Brahmana's request. Jagannath Mishra then requested the Brahmana to again cook an offering for Krishna. At the suggestion of those present, Mother Sachi Devi took the boy to the neighbor's house until the Brahmana finished eating. Meanwhile, the Brahmana cooked for the second time and then offered the foodstuffs to Bala Gopal in meditation. That moment, Sri Gaurasundara, the predominating deity of the mind, bewildered everyone with his yogamaya potency, came before the Brahmana and began to eat the offering. When the Brahmana again loudly shouted, 'The offering is spoiled,' Jagannath Mishra became even more angry at Nima. Thereafter, on the special request of Vishwarup, Vishwambar's elder brother, the Brahmana agreed to cook again. All the relatives then sat around the Lord in a room, and Jagannath Mishra sat at the doorway to ensure that the naughty boy could not spoil the offering again. Jagannath Mishra and the others even considered binding the boy with ropes. When the child Gaura Hari displayed his pastimes of yoga nidra, mystic sleep, inside the room, everyone felt relieved. Then, since it was late at night, everyone fell asleep. When the Brahman, meditating on offering the foodstuffs to Gopala Gopal for the third time, Gaura Gopal again came and ate the offering. Sri Gaurasundara then appeared before the Brahman in a form holding conch, disc, club, and lotus. He ate butter with one hand from a pot held in another, and with two other hands he played flute." Okay. Playing flute, eating butter. Okay. "After appearing in that wonderful form along with his own abode, the Lord bestowed unlimited mercy on the pious Brahman. He explained to the Brahman his own identity, the Brahman's position as the eternal servant, and the cause of his incarnation. And then the Lord forbade the Brahmana from disclosing these secret topics to anyone. After this incident, the Brahman would beg alms here and there during the day. But one time every day, he would visit the house of Jagannath Mishra in Navadvip to see his worship of the Lord." Yeah, this is what he was saying before us. Yeah, after exhibiting such opulences, he hid himself. So then he like here you see, he said he exhibited his pastimes and all that, and then he asked the Brahman to keep this one quiet. 1:14:38. Is it? No. Okay. "In his childhood, the Lord was taken away by two thieves outside his house, his home. The Lord, however, got up on the shoulders of the thieves, and while they were thinking they were safely carrying the child to rob his ornaments, the Lord misled them, and thus, instead of going to their own home, the thieves came back to the home of Jagannath Mishra." Srila Prabhupada. "In his childhood, the Lord was profusely decorated with gold ornaments. Once upon a time," you see, is that for the Lord, they would decorate him very nicely. Like that. Yeah. "Once upon a time, when the Lord was playing outside his house, two thieves passing on the street saw the opportunity to rob him. Therefore, they took him on their shoulders, pleased him by offering him some sweetmeats. The thieves thought they would carry the child to the forest and then kill him and take away the ornaments. The Lord, however, expanded his illusory energy upon the thieves, so much so that instead of carrying him to the forest, they came right back in front of his house. When they came before his house, they became afraid, because everyone from the house of Jagannath Mishra and all the inhabitants of that quarter were busy searching for the child. Therefore the thieves, thinking it was dangerous to remain, went away and left him. The child was brought within the house and given to Mother Sachi, who was in great anxiety, and she became satisfied. This incident is also very elaborately explained in the Adi Kanda of Chaitanya Bhagavat, 3rd chapter. 1.14.39. Pretending to be sick, the Lord asked some food from the house of Haranya and Jagadish on the Ekadasi day. Srila Prabhupada. The Chaitanya Bhagavat Adi Kanda chapter 6 fully describes the Lord's accepting Vishnu Prasadam on the Ekadasi day at the house of Jagannath and Hiranya. Regular prasadam is offered to Lord Vishnu on Ekadasi because although fasting is recommended for devotees on Ekadasi, it is not recommended for Lord Vishnu. Right? So it's the devotees who fast on Ekadasi, not Krishna. Right? Once on Ekadasi in the house of Jagadisha and Hiranya Pandit, there are arrangements for preparing special prasadam for Lord Vishnu. Lord Chaitanya asked his father, the Godair, to ask for the Vishnu Prasad because he was feeling sick. The house of Jagadisha and Hiranya Pandit was situated about 2 miles from the house of Jagannath Mishra. Therefore, when Jagannath Mishra, on their quest of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, came to ask Jagadisha and Hiranya for the prasadam, they were a little astonished. How could the boy understood that special prasadam was being prepared for Lord Vishnu, right? Because they're not going to publicize it before the offering, right? They immediately concluded that Nimai must have supernatural mystic power. Otherwise, how could he understand that they were preparing special prasadam? Therefore, they immediately sent the food to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through his father, Jagannath Mishra. Nimai was feeling sick, but immediately after eating the Vishnu's prasad, he was cured, and he also distributed the prasad amongst his playmates. Right, so just for, you know, what we see is that this is the principle there, the Lord like that, and you see that also the children have the same thing. They're sick, they're this or that, we give them nice food, and then suddenly everything's okay. Yeah. 1.14.40-42. So if you know, offering nice food, they're not interested, then you know they're sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually sick. Yeah. 1.14.40-42. As usual for small children, he learned to play, and with his playmates, he went to the houses of neighboring friends, stealing their eatables and eating them. Sometimes the children fought among themselves. All the children lodged complaints with Sachimata about the Lord's fighting with them and stealing from the neighbors' houses. Therefore, sometimes she used to chastise or rebuke her son. Sachimata said, "Why do you steal others' things? Why do you beat the other children? And why do you go inside others' houses? What do you not have in your own house?" Srila Prabhupada. According to the Vedanta Sutra, Janmadyasyayataha, since creation, maintenance, and annihilation exist in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or the Supreme Absolute, whatever we find within this material world is already in the spiritual world. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself. How is he stealing? How is he fighting? It is not as a thief or an enemy, but as a friend in loving condition. He steals as a child not because he is in want, but out of natural instinct. In this material world also, small children, without enmity or bad will, sometimes go to a neighboring house and steal, and sometimes they fight. Krishna also, like other children, did all these things in his childhood. Without the existence of the stealing propensity and fighting propensity in the spiritual world, they cannot exist here in the material world. The difference between the material and spiritual worlds is that stealing in the spiritual world is done in friendship and love, whereas fighting and stealing within this material world are executed on the basis of enmity and envy. Therefore, we should understand that in the spiritual world, all these activities exist, but there is no inebriety, whereas in the material world, all activities are full of miserable conditions. But even the nice ones, that the activity itself may be a good activity, but it'll be very difficult, or some austerity, or some other aspect. 1.14.43-44. thus rebuked by his mother. The Lord. Okay, the Lord would go in anger to a room and break all the pots within it. Then Satyamati would take her son on his lap and pacify him, and the Lord would be very much ashamed, admitting his faults. Srila Prabhupada. There's a nice description of the faults of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his childhood in the Chaitanya Bhagavat Adi Khanda, chapter 3, where it is said that as a child, the Lord used to steal all kinds of eatables from the houses of neighboring friends. In some houses, he would steal milk and drink it. In others, he would steal and eat prepared rice. Sometimes he would break cooking pots. There was nothing to eat, but there were small babies. The Lord would tease the babies and make them cry. Sometimes a neighbor would complain to Satyamata, My child is very small, but your child puts water in his ears and makes him cry. 1:14:45-48. Once the child, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, chastised his mother with his soft hand, and his mother pretended to faint. Seeing this, the Lord began to cry. The neighboring ladies told him, "Dear child, please bring a coconut from somewhere, and then your mother will be cured." He then went outside the house and immediately brought two coconuts. All the ladies were astonished to see such wonderful activities. Sometimes the Lord would go with other children to bathe in the Ganges, and the neighboring girls would also come there to worship various demigods. Srila Prabhupada. According to the Vedic system, when small girls 10 or 12 years old would go to the bank of the Ganges to take their bath, they would especially worship Lord Shiva with prayers to get good husbands in the future. They especially wanted to get a husband like Lord Shiva because Lord Shiva is very peaceful and at the same time most powerful. Formerly, therefore, small girls in Hindu families would worship Lord Shiva, especially in the month of Baishak, April, May. To take bath in the Ganges is a great pleasure for everyone. Not only for adults, but for children also. Right, so this position is peaceful but powerful. Right, so that's that combination that makes it work very well. Right, because they have to be powerful so things can happen, things can get done, like that. At the same time, it's so peaceful, so they deal very nicely. 1:14:49-50. When the girls engaged in worshiping the different demigods after bathing in the Ganges, The young lord would come there and sit down among them. Addressing the girls, the Lord would say, "Worship me, and I shall give you good husbands or good benedictions. The Ganges and goddess Durga are my maidservants. But to speak of other demigods, even Lord Shiva is my servant." Right? So they would be, set up their place like this and then sit there and do things. And he would just come and plunk himself down there. And then said, "Okay, you want these men? Worship me, I'll give you all that, They're all my servants." Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes we, the members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, are accused of not approving of the worship of demigods. But how can we approve of this when it is condemned by Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna? How can we allow people to become foolish and hrita jnana, Bhagavad Gita 7:20, bereft of intelligence? Our propaganda is simply meant to enable intelligent people to understand the distinction between matter and spirit and understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the whole spiritual identity. That is our mission. How could we mislead people into worshiping so-called gods in material bodies within this material world? Our position of not worshiping not allowing worship of the many hundreds of demigods was confirmed by Lord Chaitanya even in his childhood. Srila Narottam Das Thakur is sung in this connection. Quote, "To become a staunch, pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead without deviation, Ananya Bhak, one should not divert his attention to the worship of the demigods. Such control is a symptom of pure devotional service." Right? Because you're thinking, "Oh, maybe I can get so that." No, but if you just worship the Lord, everything will come. So they're not distracted by the benefits that you can get from the demigods. Right, so that's the control. 1:14:51-53. Without the permission of the girls, the Lord would take the sandalwood pulp and smear it on his own body, put the flower garlands on his neck, and snatch and eat all the offerings of sweetmeats, rice, and bananas. All the girls became very angry at the Lord for this behavior. Dear Nimai, they told him, you are just like our brother in our village relationship. Therefore, it does not behoove you to act like this. Don't take our paraphernalia for worshiping the demigods. Don't create a disturbance in this way. 1:14:54-55. The Lord replied, my dear sisters, I give you benediction that your husbands will be very handsome. They will be learned, clever, and young, and possess abundant wealth and rice. Not only that, but you will each have 7 sons, who will all live long lives and be very intelligent. Srila Prabhupada. Generally, it is the ambition of a young girl to have a very handsome husband who is learned, clever, young, and rich. Right? You know, so you can add that onto the pile here. Sant-tanda, what do you call it? Peaceful and powerful. Okay. Like that. According to Vedic culture, one is rich if he possesses a large stock of food grain and a very large number of animals. Janyena, dhanavan, gavaya, dhanavan. One is rich if he possesses food grain, cows and bulls. Girl also desires to have many children, especially sons, putra, who are very intelligent and long-lived, right? Because they're intelligent, they'll do things like that. Now, because society's deteriorated, there's propaganda to have 1 or 2 children and kill the rest by contraceptive methods. But the natural ambition of a girl is to possess not only more than 1 child, but at least 6. In exchange for the paraphernalia of worship he usurped for himself, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to bless the girls to fulfill all their ambitions and desires. So he came there and told them to worship. Like that. And then he just took all the paraphernalia himself. Right? And so then they're getting upset and all this. And then he's giving benediction because, you know, he's received all their paraphernalia that they were going to use for worship. In exchange for the paraphernalia of worship he usurped for himself, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to bless the girls to fulfill all their ambitions and desires. One can easily become happy and obtain the material benefits of a good husband, wealth, food grain, and a number of nice children by worshipping Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas at an early age, it is not necessary for his devotees to follow him by also taking sannyas. One can stay a householder, but one must be a devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then one will be happy. With all the material opulences of a good home, good children, good mate, good health, and everything he desires. Therefore, the Shastras advise, Yagyai Sankirtana Prayer Yajanti Hi Su Medha Saha. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:5-32. Every householder, therefore, who is actually intelligent should introduce the Samkirtan movement home to home and live peacefully in this life and go back to Godhead in the next. 1:14:56. Hearing this benediction from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the girls were inwardly very happy, but externally, as is natural for girls, they rebuked the Lord under the pretense of anger. Srila Prabhupada, this double dealing is natural for girls. When they are satisfied within, they externally show dissatisfaction. Such female dealings are very palatable to boys who try to make friendships with them. 1:14:57-58. When some of the girls fled, the Lord called them in anger and advised them as follows. If you are miserly and do not give me the offerings, every one of you will have an old husband with at least 4 co-wives. Srila Prabhupada. In India in those days, and even until 50 years ago, polygamy was freely allowed. Any man, especially of the higher caste, the Brahmanas, the Vaishyas, and particularly the Kshatriyas, could marry more than one wife. In the Mahabharata, or in the old history of India, we see that Kshatriya kings especially used to marry many wives. According to Vedic civilization, there was no restriction against this. And even a man more than 50 years ago could marry...
50 years old.
More than 50 years old.
Oh, okay, so it's not the previous quote of 50 years ago. Okay. According to Vedic civilization, there's no restriction against us, and even a man more than 50 years old could marry. But to be married to a man who had many wives was not a very pleasing situation, because the husband's love would be defied among his many wives. To punish the girls unwilling to offer him the naivedya, right, the offering, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu apparently wanted to curse them to be married to men who had at least four wives. The social structure of allowing a man to marry more than one wife can be supported in this way. Generally, in every society, the female population is greater in number than the male population. Therefore, if it is the principle that in society all the girls should be married, unless polygamy is allowed, it will not be possible. If all the girls are not married, there is a good chance of adultery. And a society in which adultery is allowed cannot be very peaceful or pure. In our Krishna conscious society, we have restricted illicit sex. The practical difficulty is to find a husband for each and every girl. We are therefore in favor of polygamy, provided, of course, that the husband is able to maintain more than one wife. So it's not just because he wants, he has to be able to actually take care. Like that. Like I mentioned before, the one devotee had two wives, but each had, a full size house. You know, it was a 3-story big house, you know, land around it and everything. And he had one for each wife, not one with both, one for each. Like that. You know, so like that it works. Verse 14:59-62. Hearing this supposed curse by Lord Chaitanya, the girls, considering that he might know something uncommon or be empowered by the demigods, were afraid that his curse might be effective. The girls then brought the offerings before the Lord, who ate them all and blessed the girls to their satisfaction. When this cunning behavior of the Lord with the girls became known to the people in general, it did not create misunderstandings among them. Rather, they enjoyed happiness in these dealings. One day, a girl of the name Lakshmi, the daughter of Vallabhacharya, came to the bank of the Ganges to take a bath in the river and worship the demigods. Footnote 4. Note, this is not the Vallabhacharya who is the head of the Vallabhacharya Sampradaya in Western India. He will be discussed in the Madhya Lila and Antya Lila. Okay, so a different Vallabhacharya. Srila Prabhupada. According to the Gauranga Deepika, Lakshmi was formerly Janaki, the wife of Lord Ramachandra and Rukmini, the wife of Lord Krishna and Dwarka. The same goddess of fortune descended as Lakshmi to become the wife of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right, because you have all these different pastimes, so then there's this aspect. And so Lord Ramachandra, there'll be some aspects of there, and then Krishna and Dwarka. 1:14:63-66. Seeing Lakshmi Devi, the Lord became attracted to her, and Lakshmi, upon seeing the Lord, felt great satisfaction within her mind. Their natural love for each other awakened, and although it was covered by childhood emotions, it became apparent that they were mutually attracted. They both enjoyed natural pleasure in seeing each other, and under the pretext of demigod worship, they manifest their feelings. The Lord told Lakshmi, "Just worship me, for I am the Supreme Lord. If you worship me, certainly you will get the benediction you desire." Srila Prabhupada. This is the same philosophy declared by Lord Krishna himself. Sarva dharmam parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami masuchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. Bhagavad Gita 18:66. People do not understand this. They are accustomed to flattering or worshipping many demigods, human beings, or even cats and dogs. But when requested to worship the Supreme Lord, they refuse. This is called illusion. Factually, if one worships the Supreme Lord, there is no need to worship anyone else. For example, in a village of a limited area, one may use different wells for different purposes. But when one goes to a river, there is water constantly flowing in waves. That water can serve all his purposes. When there is a river, one can take drinking water, wash his clothes, bathe, and so on, for that water will serve all purposes. Similarly, if one worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, all his goals will be achieved. Kamais tais ter rita jnana Prapadyantena devata. Only men who have lost their intelligence worship the various demigods to fulfill their desires. Bhagavad Gita 7:20. 1:14:67-68. On hearing the order of the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lakshmi immediately worshipped him, offering sandalwood pulp and flowers for his body, garlanding him with malika flowers and offering prayers. Being worshipped by Lakshmi, the Lord began to smile. He recited a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam and thus accepted the emotion she expressed. Srila Prabhupada. The verse quoted in this connection is the 25th verse of the 22nd chapter, 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The gopis worship goddess Durga or Katyayani, but their inner desire is to get Lord Krishna as their husband. Krishna, as Paramatma, could realize the ardent desire of the gopis, and therefore he enjoyed the pastimes of Vastraharana. When the gopis went to bathe in the river Jamuna, they left their garments on the land and dipped into the water completely naked. Taking this opportunity, Krishna stole all their garments and sat down on the top of a tree with them, desiring to see the girls naked just to become their husband. The gopis desired to have Krishna as their husband, and since it is only before her husband that a woman can be naked, to fulfill their desire, Lord Krishna accepted their prayers by this pastime of stealing their garments. When the gopis received their garments back from Krishna, Krishna recited this verse, 1:14:69. Quote, "My dear gopis, I accept your desire to have me as your husband, and thus worship me. I wish your desire to be fulfilled because it deserves to be so." Srila Prabhupada. The gopis, the girlfriends of Krishna, were almost of the same age as he. Within their minds, they desired that Krishna be their husband, but because of feminine bashfulness, they could not express their desire. Therefore, later on, after stealing their garments, Krishna informed them, quote, "I immediately understand your desire and approve of it. Because I have now stolen your garments, you have presented yourself before me completely naked, which means that I have accepted all of you as my wives." Sometimes foolish rascals, not knowing the purpose of the Lord or the purpose of the gopis, unnecessarily criticize from their own angle of vision. But the real purpose of Vastraharana is expressed by the Lord in this verse. Right, so it's a matter of the mood and all that. Right? That's the whole thing. Is that? Yeah? No foolish rascals. They're good. Okay. After thus expressing their feelings to each other, Lord Chaitanya and Lakshmi returned home. Who can understand the grave pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? When the neighboring people saw the naughty behavior of Lord Chaitanya, out of love for him, they lodged complaints with Sachimata and Jagannath Misra. One day, Mother Sachi went to catch her son, wanting to rebuke him, but he fled from the spot. Although he is the maintainer of the entire universe, once the Lord sat upon... even though he's the maintainer of the whole universe, when Mother Sachi coming, then he's running off. Right? So you can see that there's elements that are there through, you know, all of his pastimes. Like that. They have their own unique form in this pastime, but they're there. Although he is the maintainer of the entire universe, right? Because in Krishna Leela, then he breaks the pot and then Mother Jashoda chases him. Like this. And then although he is the maintainer of the entire universe, once the Lord sat on some rejected pots in the pit where the remnants of food were thrown, after the pots had been used for cooking. Srila Prabhupada. Formerly, it was the custom of Brahmas to worship Lord Vishnu daily at home and to cook food in new pots. This system is still going on in Jagannath Puri. The food would be cooked in earthen pots, all fresh and new, and after cooking, the pots would be thrown away. By the side of the house, there was generally a big pit where such pots were thrown. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down on the pots very pleasingly, just to give his mother a lesson. Right, so last time that it was like, why didn't you teach me this philosophy earlier? So now let's see. Yeah, so before they were cooking these like this, and that way they would cook every day. You also see they also had land, that you had a place where you could throw all the pots.
Major store in your neighbor's
property. Yeah, that could also work, and then you can throw it to the next one until eventually it gets down to the end there. When Mother Sachi saw her boy sitting on the rejected pots, she protested, "Why have you touched these untouchable pots? You have now become impure. Go and bathe in the Ganges." Hearing this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught his mother about absolute knowledge. Although amazed by this, his mother forced him to take a bath. Even though it is there, yeah, great philosophy, okay, we understand that. Go take a bath. Srila Prabhupada, the absolute knowledge explained by the Lord to his mother is described by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Prabhaha Bhasya as follows. The Lord said, "Mother, that this is pure and that this is impure is surely a worldly sentiment with no basis in fact. You have cooked food for Lord Vishnu within these pots and offered the food to him. How then can these pots be untouchable? Everything in relation with Lord Vishnu is to be considered an expansion of Vishnu's energy. Vishnu, the Supersoul, is eternal and uncontaminated. How then can these pots be considered pure or impure?" Hearing this discourse on absolute knowledge, his mother was very much astonished and forced him to take a bath. You know, right? Great philosophy, but still, she's his mom, right? 1476-90.
Can we say that this dealing between Chaitanya Prabhu and his mother as the origin of the dealing between the children and the family?
Yes. Everything's the origin. The Braj is the origin of everything. And then you'll see the, you know, variations of that as it goes into Dwarka, you know, like this. And so you know, and then it expands down here. But the principle of what everything does, the mechanics, is all the same. Just as you see, it's all based on affection.
Yes.
Like Lord Chaitanya's going and taking. Just like, let's say, you have a really good friend, a really close friend, and he has something to eat, and you don't have, you might take it from him. But it's out of affection. You know, and there'll be some fighting, there'll be this and that, but, you know, you'll end up both eating and stuff like that. So it's just a matter of, it's a basis for affection, to express affection. So you have all these unlimited ways to express. You have all these qualities that are there. You have all these different moods in that, the emotions and all these things that come up from that, the various situations that can be in. That's why all the different, the forms are there, all the different rules and regulations are to generate all the forms in that, to, in which exchange can happen. So yes, that's the origin. That's why the mechanics that are there, they apply here. But you have to understand is that it's the mood, the devotional mood, that makes it work in a transcendental position. It's not the mechanics that make it work. One has to be very clear about that. So it's not the mechanics that please Krishna. It's that the mechanics give rise to an opportunity for that interaction with the devotees. Right? So the secondary is there to serve the Lord in the primary. So when we separate the secondary off from him, right? In other words, we don't connect the energies to him and have it separate, then we try to engage those energies ourselves separately from the Lord. That's a problem. So... Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada.